Saturday's March for Science in Rapid City was part of an international Earth Day movement. Scientists typically don't get involved in politics, but according to national news feeds, they're feeling threatened by proposed federal budget cuts to the EPA, NASA, and other science-based programs. Some Rapid City signs referred to politics. Science trumps opinion. Science is not an alternative fact, save the EPA. Other signs celebrated the potential of science, especially those carried by kids. Science is my superpower. Science saves the world. Bill Nye is my hero. The march started at the School of Mines and Technology, although that institution did not sponsor it, and it ended at the Central States Fairgrounds, where speakers addressed the crowd and marchers could attend an Earth Day Expo a short distance away. Not all marchers agreed with one another. Much of what environmentalists typically protest has been created by science. So the event threw together people marching on the same side of an issue who might not agree on all its details. What they did seem to agree on was this: the conversation needs to continue. SDPB's Victoria Wicks walked with the marchers to get this report.
This is a protest scene that's becoming familiar. A long line of people march, carrying signs that are often amusing and clever, and chant slogans in unison. Protest chanting is usually pretty simple. Hey, hey, ho, ho, so-and-so has got to go, that kind of thing. But this scientific chanting gets complicated.
What do we want?
Evidence-based science.
When do we want it?
After peer review.
What do we want?
Evidence-based science.
The guy with the bullhorn is Cole Sawyer, a Mines junior and biology major who organized the event. He wears a white lab coat, just as other marchers do in other locations across the country. Not all scientists are environmentalists, and not all environmentalists are scientists. But it was a scientist who kicked off the movement in 1962.
Science has driven a lot of the environmental concern over the decades.
Lilias Jarding is an activist with the Black Hills Clean Water Alliance, whose largest current battle is stopping proposed uranium mining near Edgemont.
If you go back to how environmentalism started, it started with a book by a scientist named Rachel Carson, who wrote a book called The Silent Spring that gave people awareness of the use of pesticides and the impacts that it was happening on birds. So environmentalism has always been informed by science.
Jarding calls for better communication to resolve issues that sometimes exist between environmentalists and scientists.
Sometimes scientists aren't good at communicating their information to the general public, and environmentalists can play that role. Sometimes I will say that I've seen situations where environmentalists weren't as careful as they should have been in using scientific information or didn't go back to the scientists to make sure they understood it well.
As an engineer, I know there's trade-offs to everything, okay? And so it's a matter of balancing those things out. And what we did 40 or 50 years ago is not the right thing to be doing today.
Richard Bell is chairman of the Black Hills chapter of Dakota Rural Action. Like other scientists in this march, he says people who disagree need to keep talking.
95% of scientists have signed on to saying, you know, that climate change is real, and there's 5% who are holding out. Now, are those people wrong? They're looking at their facts and their viewpoint and their political and their moral framework and coming up with a different conclusion.
Bell points out the difficulty in coming to an agreement. Alternative facts do exist when personal and political beliefs and motivations are driving the information. But he believes that objective data is on his side and will win out.
Even if we never convince them, science is eventually going to come out with the reality of how the world really works. So I have trust and faith that eventually 100% of people are going to come to believe what is true.
To repeat a point, not all scientists are environmentalists, and it is scientists who develop methods and industries that environmentalists oppose, drilling oil and fracking gas and mining uranium. And it's scientists who design the nuclear reactors and weapons and generators that use uranium and fossil fuels. Again, Bell has faith in progressive science and believes that progress will resolve the dispute.
The world is moving so fast. We're at about a point of disruption where you know, solar panels and wind and all the renewable energy is going to take over. And so, you know, when that happens, there's no need for nuclear energy. So I'm convinced that fossil fuels going away and there's no need for nuclear energy as well.
Climate change, biological evolution, the age of the earth, vaccines, genetically engineered food.
Physics professor Luke Corwin speaks from an outdoor stage at the fairgrounds and lists a number of areas where a segment of the population does not trust science.
When I encounter in person or on the internet someone who I think is wrong about a scientific topic or who thinks a whole branch of science is a fraud, I tend to have one of two reactions. Either I will try to convince them with a well-sourced, data-driven, logically sound argument, or, when that doesn't work, I will be tempted to mock, belittle, insult, and yell at them in a manner somewhat resembling Daffy Duck. Neither of these approaches is effective.
Corwin says studies show that trying to change someone's deeply held beliefs by using facts won't work and might backfire by causing opponents to dig in their heels.
Why does this distrust exist in the first place? As far as I can tell, it's about very real and powerful human emotions, like anger and fear.
He lists some of those fears he recently read about, that the government will dictate what kind of cars we can drive, where we live, and what jobs exist, that jobs will be destroyed, that vaccines will give children autism, that evolution is atheism and responsible for evil.
If I ignore these fears, I will never make any progress building support for science. If I mock and belittle them, I reduce those with whom I disagree to caricatures, and I forget that they are people with minds, souls, and emotions who are as worthy of respect and compassion as I am.
Corwin then lists his own fears that lead to his own anger.
I am afraid the denial of climate change will cause irreversible damage to our civilization. The brunt of this damage will fall on those who can least afford it, and that makes me angry. I am afraid that rejection of evolution and cosmology will make our society less scientifically literate, and that that will cause us to fall behind the rest of the world in our ability to create jobs and innovate for the future, and that makes me angry. I am afraid that the anti-vaccination movement will lead to the resurgence of preventable diseases. Children in America could soon be dying of diseases that we can prevent with a needle prick, all because of a lie, and that makes me angry.
Corwin tells the crowd that he is a Christian and tries to follow Jesus' teachings, but as a scientist, he sometimes struggles with the dichotomy.
I believe he wants me to love my neighbor as myself, even if that neighbor is a young earth creationist anti-vaxxer who thinks climate change is a hoax. I didn't say it was easy.
This year's Earth Day is surrounded by other events with science woven into them. The night before the march, scientists presented the biological and astronomical effects of light pollution. In the 4-H building at the fairgrounds, the expo features recycling, organic gardening, biochemistry, sustainable energy, and electric cars. Not too far from the expo, with its food and music and crowds and speeches, Rapid Creek flows along the edge of the fairgrounds. It's quiet here, except for the noise of traffic on nearby streets, and water eddies and tumbles over rocks. On the riverbank, in the shade of budding trees, volunteers work quietly to pick up trash, walking on the grass, using sticks to stab the garbage, and carrying bags to put it in. Very low tech. It's unlikely anyone will question the value of that. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.
Luke Corwin's speech, almost in its entirety, is posted online with this story. Although Corwin teaches at School of Mines, he expressed his own views and did not represent the college.